Welcome to Extra Points with your host, Cousin Sal, and his pals, Dave Damashek and Charlotte Wilder.
All right, welcome to Extra Points, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with his dear pals, Dave Damashek and Charlotte Wilder. It's Wednesday, January 20th. Happy Inauguration Day, whichever side of the aisle you're on. AKA the conclusion of my most bizarre bet ever. I don't want to get into it too much politically, but guys, I did this in 2017. I made a bet. It's not important where I placed the bet. Let's just say I bet somebody else $2,000 that Donald Trump would not last the first term. So he could resign, he could be kicked out of office, or he could die. And those were my three options. And I figured, pretty good shot at any of the three. And it ended up being, no matter what, my most tumultuous bet of all time. It really was. You talk about bad beats along the way and looking good, like at even odds, would you say that would have been a good bet in January 2017 that he wouldn't last?
I think I was too pessimistic already by then to think that there was a chance. But, you know, without getting, quote, too political, I wish you'd won.
I know. It was so close. I mean, Dave, what would you have thought of that bet had I presented that to you 3 years ago?
I told you all along I was going to win that one because I win again.
Simmons did
win. Oh, it wasn't with him?
No, it wasn't with him. It was not with him. It was, I don't want to say where it is, but you had to think between all the sexual misconduct claims and the Russian collusion claims and the not or kind of endorsing white supremacists, depending on how the question is framed, claims.
And then really endorsing white supremacists.
Yeah. Very good people. I thought I had a shot. And then I was like resigned. I was like, all right, I lost this bet. And then Mahomes getting hurt against the Browns. I'm like, oh my God, a few weeks ago, I had a shot again. They're storming the Capitol. A second impeachment might do it, but no, not the, two more weeks I might have had the win, but I lose. Anyway, good riddance to that bet. I don't think I'll ever have a crazier bet than that, right?
Well, not with that stinking thinking. I mean, what you've proven here is you can bet anything in pop culture, and I think you should press forward with that and now tell us who's going to win The Bachelor or Bachelorette. I don't know. I'm not up to speed right now. I know I did see that The Bachelor that started, but then they had to stop because she decided she had found her soulmate in the first 11 minutes, and then she left the show. I heard that they broke up. So I don't know what to think.
This is a weird season. I haven't checked in. Charlotte, I think you've tweeted about it, but this is like a real person, this guy. It's weird, right?
I kind of checked out. I watched the intro the first episode, and then I read all the spoilers because I find, you know, I used to be very into it. Now I just get kind of bored. I'm like, can we just speed it up to the good part where there are three people left and then all the real drama starts? But so I found out what happened. But apparently Claire and Dale have gone their separate ways. That's the last season thing.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's what I'm telling you about.
There
right.
No spoilers.
I'm six seasons behind. So, but go ahead. Yeah.
I just want to, yes, captivating stuff when they introduced the new guy, and then the new guy, all the women were swooning and everything. Mm. And I was watching it with my wife, and then he's like, and once he had the 20 or 30 women around, he's like, I'd like to start off with a prayer. And then he did a prayer to his Lord. And then I was like, what in hell? And
I just wanted to know if there were any Jewish contestants on that.
Well,
that's
exactly right. It's the same thing that they always say, like the cavalier kind of thing about like Tim Tebow. Any father would be thrilled if their daughter brought this guy home. Like, well, not if you're Jewish or Muslim or atheist or don't like talking about Jesus every two sentences. Like outside of those groups. Okay, great. I think everybody would be thrilled by that. I said, wouldn't this be repellent? If religion, if the Lord is brought into the first 30 seconds of a first date, wouldn't that be like off-putting? And she's like, oh no, I guarantee you all those women will be fine with it. And,
really?
And they were. I don't get, but I want to talk about that. I just want to say one thing about the world of sports. This is why sports are great, everybody. A random January night for it's cold in Pittsburgh. And I know that People aren't actually going to the games, but what a pick me up on a random, like I say, night. The Pittsburgh Penguins rally to defeat the hated Capitals in overtime on a goal from number 87, Captain Kid Crosby. And then you flip over, and about a 8-minute drive from there, the Pitt Panthers vanquished Duke. They beat the Duke Blue Devils. And I really was thinking, man, what do people do without sports? It's these random dates on the calendar that give you something to watch and to look forward to. And I really do. It always brings me back to my thought. How do people fill their days when they don't have sports? I feel bad for them.
I do too. And now we have nothing to talk about. I mean, I had mine on my list: inauguration, bachelor talk, Pitt Penguins, and Pitt Panthers. So what the hell do we do now? Now we just sit around.
Well, no, you missed out if you didn't watch Justin Champagny, because he was dynamite. Dropped 31 on the Dukies.
Are you all right, Charlotte? She grabbed for her ear. I think there might be some medical assistance.
Oh, no, I had an itch. It was itching.
Hey, let's talk. All right, Dave, you're not only a big winner for watching the Penguins. You got paid from our fantasy league. I want to give you props, and I want to give myself props. This is a pain in the ass, Charlotte, to figure out the finances of this league.
I can only imagine.
Well, it's not just like, hey, there's a $450 buy-in and the winner gets 50% and second place gets 25%. We charge for what's called transactions. So if you add or drop a player during the season, you're dinged $5 for a transaction. Now, the average team had like 24 transactions. So I'm like, okay, I don't even know the names. All right, the Drenchmen have $450 plus $120 in transaction fees. So that's $570. Then I have to add it. Then I have to take away the stat fee. Then I have to take the team that had the most points gets money off the top. So it's really tough. I figured I'd do it because I thrust this league on everybody at the last minute again, because I have to say, I can't believe we got through it. I really do. With little difficulty with COVID and everything, but that's beside the point. So I tally it up. I'm $11 off after 45 minutes. Dave is shorted $11, and I'm so ADD, I got to make this right. I have to do it. So I spend another 20 minutes on it. So now it's over an hour.
Then he called Brad Raffensperger to see if he could match the sign. Anyway, go ahead.
That's all right. Yeah. That's a different Brad. I thought. Yeah. So I send the email. I'm like, here it is. This is what everybody owes. I bottom line it. I break it down afterwards. I'm like, Dave and Paul, you were first and second place. You get paid out. I'm paying third place, so I'm not worried about him. Tell us your Venmo and your PayPal information. And Dave writes back. Dave, what did you write back?
I don't know, because you can try to shame me all you want here in a public forum, or you can do it on our group email in the league. Either way, it all adds up to the same thing. Sal's getting himself into hot water. Why are you poking the dynasty beast right now when you know I hold kickout? I hold kickout privileges. Is that what you want? Is that how you want it to go?
Well, A, you already kicked out a guy who's not coming back, so good luck doing a league with 9 teams. B, good luck adding up the finances if you want to get paid, because I'm the only one who seems to want to do it. Dave responds, by the way, I'm still owed money from 3 years ago. Signed the Cool Cats.
Oh, and that was it.
And I said, hey, for a guy who's, you know, worried about getting paid, you still have not told us about your payment information, Venmo or PayPal. And no, I let it sit for a while. I'm like, it's going to take over 4.5 emails before he provides this information. And then some people get in on, oh, Dave, where's this trophy? Hey, Dave, have you thought about the trophy? And then Dave writes back, and it's funny. He's like, hey, forget about the trophy. How about a cup? And he shows us a cup with Shakey's on it. Shakey's is where we have the terrible dive pizza place where we have our banquet. Still no payment information. Still none. Now we're 3 emails in. The guy who complained about not getting paid.
I'm not complaining. I don't do it for the money or the rings or the trophies or anything else. I do it for the glory. I mean, that's
right.
That's what, and also the money. But it was made a big deal, Charlotte. See, Charlotte's already getting bored with our inside.
No, I love hearing about other people's fantasy league finances.
Well, listen, let me just tell you something.
Yeah.
It was made a big deal a year ago that Dave wasn't like square, whatever, even though I'd won. Somehow there was I wasn't square on paying people. And I said, listen, If this is what we're doing now, if we're calling people out, now I feel obliged to call out other people who aren't paid up. That's all. That's all. Right. I don't care. I don't.
But just.
But
you know, fine me however you feel. I'm not gonna give you a lead as to how to pay me. I mean, that would be too tough to include in an email. How to find me on PayPal or Venmo. But anyway, we're 3 emails in, and I'm like, maybe I just let this sit. Let's see how long before he doesn't get paid and realizes that he's not getting paid. And I'm like, but then I did say, hey, how about giving us that information? And a snarky Dave, way snarkier than Charlotte could ever be, says, I'm Dave Damashek on PayPal, as I am in life. As if that's an entity.
Oh,
Dave Damashek. I'm Dave Damashek. Dave, what's your email address? I'm Dave Damashek. Come on. Why are you being stupid?
So did you ever find out?
So then John Hamm says, Dave Damashek, not an entity on PayPal. Like, he quotes like what the message he got back when someone would foolishly put just a name in to pay somebody on PayPal. And then Dave's like, oh, poop. And he finally provides what he believes is how he gets paid on PayPal. And it just so turned out that it was his email address.
It was correct.
It was correct, yes.
Hey, man, Ham and I are on to hockey. We're bellyaching about that the Sabres have great new uniforms, which are retro uniforms, but they look way too much like the 70s St. Louis Blues uniforms, which, of course, rubs all Blues fans the wrong way. Which reminds me to say this. We have a lot of football to talk about and everything else. But let me just get on the record here before the train gets too far from the station. Uh-huh. This NHL season, if you ain't paying attention, guess what? You're missing out. It's glorious. It's two games at a time.
Yeah.
One series after the other. These two game series only within your division. Hmm. It's the best. Next up for the Pittsburgh Penguins, the blue shirts from New York. Eddie Spaghetti's beloved ones, loaded with young talent. It's another chapter in what is shaping up to be a heavenly season in Puck. Pay attention now.
You know, I feel like any topic I bring up today, Dave is just going to steer it back to hockey. Like, hey,
we're
going to
end up talking about the Penguins no matter what.
Kamala Harris,
football season's over.
Kamala Harris just wet herself on the White House steps during the swearing in. Wow. But what about that penalty kill line? Come on. Like, all right.
No.
All right. Anyway, Dave got paid, I think. Did you get paid by most people? Or
I believe so. I believe so. But like I say, it's really like, you know, it's I can't even make it out. Like, I'm just it's the eternal glow of knowing that I now sit among sports greatest dynasties, the cool cats. 3 out of 4 titles in
I gave you
football.
I didn't even owe you money this year, but I know I owed you $600-something last year, and I asked you for your payment information during the year, and you didn't give it. I thought you were like just being a nice guy. But so I was holding it because I wanted to get the trophy and ding you for that price. But turns out trophy making is not an essential business right now. So they're not really there's not really kids sports. So
this attempt to shame me. Well, we kicked out, like, remember you mentioned, I kicked out Bill Simmons via Fred Lynn cameo. And that reminds me to ask you, after your attempt to publicly shame me, who are your favorite Metropolitans of your youth? Hojo, Howard Johnson. Was that your guy, Tim?
Don't
Tim
tell
Tuffel?
Him, Sal. Don't tell him.
Rafael Santana.
This is a trap.
Doesn't matter to me. Not care. You can kick me out. It's fine.
Oh, look who's doing the Simmons route.
I don't care. There'll be 7 teams in the league. How are you going to be? It's going to get down to you and somebody else. And then you're like, oh, the Cats did it again.
This is your thing of kicking people out.
Well, you kicked out the wrong person. I warned you. I warned you this would happen. Anyway, let's get back to reality here. Playoffs and FanDuel. This is our favorite time of year. We could talk about hockey, but we're down to the Final Four. Can't wait to bet all the action this weekend on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never tried FanDuel before, playoffs are the perfect time to give it a shot. Right now, new users get an exclusive 25-1 odds boost on any team to win during the conference championship round. Right, 25-1, any team this weekend. I don't get this. All right,
money.
I got to calculus too, and you wouldn't believe this in college. I don't want to brag here, but it doesn't make sense to me. I know these FanDuel people. I did, and 25-1 odds on an even game, a coin toss game, doesn't seem to make. Dave, does it make sense to you?
No, indeed. I mean, and I did not get the calculus too.
Man,
my sister, who's a year younger than me, was actually one math level ahead of me when I graduated, which was an embarrassment.
Really?
Except jokes on her, because math is dumb.
Well, ask if she could figure it out how they're okay, getting by at 25-1
What does
odds.
She do now?
She works at FanDuel. No, I don't know. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use promo code Extra Points so they know we sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Extra Points. All right. And about those games, still the same games, whether you root for the Patriots or the Steelers or the Cowboys. I keep looking. None of our teams are in the Final Four. I don't think it's going to change.
I keep thinking maybe it'll change, but it hasn't.
It doesn't. It really doesn't.
I'll say this. Two things that jump out at me in terms of fun numbers that it all boils down to.
If you talk about the Penguins right now, I'm shutting your box off here. Go ahead.
I can. I think it's just grand that it all boils down to after the 17 weeks and the play, and now we're in these title games, two home teams, both giving 3 points. The difference in over-unders is what, a point difference between the two title games.
Yeah.
I love that things all land after all the noise that it all comes down to just about as perfect. Like, I mean, -3 basically is what the home team standardly gets. So these two games are considered to be even Steven by the bookmakers. I love that. And then to transcend just this season, as Phil Rivers hangs it up just before we start recording here, I love that in 2004, three guys are drafted in the first round, you know, 45 minutes apart. And now they sit, Roethlisberger presumably coming back for one more season at least, is going to disrupt this. But as it sits right now, 17 years after the draft, that they finish, I think it's 5-7-8 in terms of all-time passing yards. That's crazy. I mean, that like, you know, there's not a comp for that, really. Like Elway, Marino,
right,
Jim Kelly, whatever. I mean, like, that they, like, oh, who's better? That like, who's going to win this thing? Mariota or Jameis or Mariota and any other, you know, Goff or Wentz. That 17 years worth of information, and they all land basically at the exact same, pretty close to the exact same total passing yards over the courses of their careers. That's remarkable.
That is remarkable. And we have four quarterbacks who, yeah, they will undoubtedly land in the top 20, I think. Well, I don't know. I mean, Josh Allen is the one outside looking in. But you got Packers, Bucks. You got Brady, Breeze, as Dave mentioned, 3. Packers laying 3 in Lambeau. 51.5 is the over-under. Boy, I thought this would be a little higher. I know we discussed it a little bit Monday.
I think if they could have fans there, I think if it were a packed house, it would be higher. I really do. I think they will have fans there, but it won't be the same as, you know, a full stadium.
So the Packers lost to the Vikings, but otherwise 7-1 at home. And I know what you're saying about the fans. It's a different story, but a lot of people are like, oh, travel and weather. Oh, come on, these are human beings. They could take it. Well, what makes a good home field advantage? If you were to break down percentages, Dave or Charlotte, let's say, unless there's a factor I'm missing out on, travel for the other team, fans in the stands, or weather. Let's take Lambeau, for instance. What do you attribute percentage-wise to each of those?
In terms of why the odds are what they are?
Yeah, or why, just in general? Why, what would be the biggest factor?
I feel like, God, I mean, I would say crowd normally for home field, but
I would have said now, that too. I would have said that too. And yet this team's end up 7-1 and Seattle ended up good at home and Buffalo, like all the teams that usually win at home did win at home. And that's why I thought it should be 3.5-4.
Wow, plus, maybe I think fans actually don't matter. Maybe that's what it comes down to. Maybe we're all useless.
This is for me a recurring subject of fascination. I love talking to professional human beings about this. I mean, it's like that it matters. I always think of the Norman Dale scene in the Hoosier scene when Norman Dale breaks out the tape measure. And for the kids who are presumably emotionally and otherwise intimidated by playing in the big gymnasium. And he's like, yep, 10 feet. 15 feet, same dimensions. It's like, okay, you guys are average age 28. How can it possibly matter if this game is played in your 100-yard field or somebody else's? And it turns out, as you say, Sal, it's a massive thing. New Orleans, the Superdome. If you ask, like, how much does it make it so that you can't really hear anything else? Mm-hmm. Superdome, the Clink in Seattle. Those are the places that have, like, I can't hear what's happening kind of thing. Right. Arrowhead has an atmosphere and everything else, but it doesn't necessarily.
So you would say fans, even though all those teams you mentioned.
I think it has to do with the weirdo stuff of comfort, of like, I slept at home as opposed to sleeping in a hotel.
So travel.
I think it's that weird. I can't believe that that's true, but that is, as I anecdotally have talked to people over and over again, like, why would it make a difference to you? Weather to a degree, but then as we've talked about here, it's like, well, they're all from Florida, Texas, or California at this point anyway, so none of them like to be in minus 2 degrees out there, but it does, there's something about the body acclimating.
There's only a few teams that the weather is a factor. Yeah, but I mean, there's a reason, there's got to be a reason the best teams are 7-1 at home and 5-3 on the road, right? Year after year. That's what happens. Here's what I would do if I was a GM. Like, hey, sorry, ticket holders, and it's been a bum year. But we collected the data. The best teams are still hitting almost 90% in their home game wins. We're going to have to jack up the prices because you fans don't seem to matter. I'm sorry. So if you really want to come to the game, in fact, you might be getting in our way. You know, we don't want to deal with the fights in the parking lot and everything else. So sorry, everything is double now if you want to come see.
Bills fans especially, because, you know, they disrupt, they throw dildos on the field.
Exactly.
You got to pay for the right to do that.
Yeah. You know, our grounds crew appreciates the no dildos on the field.
I think the thing that's fun to consider is I have a picture behind me here of a muddy field for the 1966 AFL title game. And I think that's what's interesting is with potentially snow in Lambeau, that seems to give a big advantage to the home team there, right? Doesn't it seem like the guys from Florida are going to come up, except that Tom Brady's not, you know, it's not completely foreign for him to be in chilly weather for a big game.
Yeah.
Does the weather impact it? Is it possible that one team gains an advantage over the other in either of these games on the same level that the Bills and Ravens a week ago was impacted by all that wind? It is a fun, you know, the Kurt Warner thing of like all playoff games should be played in the dome, like we were talking about. I don't know, but how big is that factor going to loom in either one of these?
Well, Brady, as great as he is, the greatest of all time, whatever you want to say, lost 3 of his last 4 conference championship games on the road. So there is something to it. May not have anything to do with weather.
People forget that.
Yeah. No, I don't forget. As someone who's trying to bolster the Packers case here, I think that's what I'm leaning on here. Plus, they're just good. I mean, maybe Rodgers doesn't have to be the whole team, Dave. I get what you're saying with Tampa. Everybody's from California or Texas or Florida, but Aaron Rodgers just doesn't seem to care what he's playing in, right? He throws his hands in the hand warmer and walks up to the line of scrimmage and just give me what you got right there. Now, the other game, Chiefs
legacy game, though. But what a game we have. And people, I don't understand why fans want to be like cool, like old school football guy who's been talking on TV about our league and our game for the last 30 years or whatever. And then like the average fan buys into the same nonsense, like, oh, who wins this game doesn't impact the greatness of Brady or Rodgers. Like, yeah, it does. History remembers how these games shake out. This is the title game. A trip to the Super Bowl is on the line here. It's so great. And if Rodgers wins it and gets to another Super Bowl, it then becomes a talking point when we evaluate, like, oh, that silly fan conversation to Aaron Rodgers was great even if he didn't get to a second Super Bowl. All right. If you want to be a jerk and pour water on fun conversation, so be it. But it does matter if Rodgers gets to a second one, and let alone wins another Super Bowl, let alone against Patrick Mahomes. If Aaron Rodgers has 2 rings, at this late stage, when it felt like things were getting sideways there as recently as 18 months or so ago, if he wins another one, now going into next season, it's like, well, Aaron Rodgers is the greatest of all time.
Well,
and I don't know.
Sorry.
Talk about revenge, not revenge even, you know, as recently as the 2020 draft, they take Jordan Love and everyone's like, what are they doing? Like, you needed a wide receiver more than you needed a quarterback, and the whole, you know, Rodgers was pissed and this whole thing. And then for them to be able to, not only for him to prove that he's still great on top of that, but to be able to sort of deal with the whatever shade or whatever ego he might have taken a hit and still work with Matt LaFleur and have a great season. Yeah. I think that's pretty impressive.
It's awesome. It's all great. Counterpoint, though.
Yeah.
If Tom Brady
Oh, God.
If Tom Brady, forget Taylor Heineke, whatever he did, they beat Washington. If Tom Brady beats Drew Brees on the road, beats Aaron Rodgers on the road, beats Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl, close the damn book. He's the best. I mean, he might be the best anyway. No, but that's it. Then I don't care what anyone does after that.
There's no conversation.
Yeah. Are you ready for
that? I realized part of why I've been so upset about this.
Yeah, you're not ready for it.
Well, I've realized why it's upsetting is because I'm like, oh my God, I want to believe I was a Pats fan this whole time, but what if I was a Tom Brady fan? Like
That's exactly. Find the tapes. This is what we talked about before the season kicked off, that it was going to be divine to watch Patriots fans try and make sense of all this, and it's exactly what we talked about, and this is funny to watch our Patriots fan, let alone all the others, grapple with what this means spiritually for how they've spent the last two decades of their life.
It's tough. I'm not going to lie. I went for a run the other day, and I was like, why am I so upset about this? And then I was like, oh.
That's right. What have I done?
You know, BB turning down the Congressional Medal of Freedom is your Super Bowl right there. I think that's what you have to look at. Thank you. I'll take it.
But what about, so the other thing that I think is really a fun thought, I know I brought it up the other day, but then I hit up Ross Tucker and Chris Long to try and get their thoughts. They were a little, they were being cute and glib in the public forum about like, oh, Bill, I'm sure is completely neutral about what Tom's doing right now, kind of stuff. Imagine just Bill Belichick watching these games or not watching these games and pretending like, I have a life and my season's over and I'm on to 2021 and the NFL draft. I think that's hysterical. And the other thing I'll say is, and I'm sorry, Charlotte, the other thing I'll say is too, we talk about who's the greatest and it does matter and how many rings you get does impact how we regard these quarterbacks, the quarterback league, the toughest position in all of sports, our most beloved sport. All these things matter and who's the best at it. That is, these are all relevant conversations if you're a sports fan or a football fan. I think here's another hot take. What if Josh Allen, or let alone what if Mahomes gets to the Super Bowl and loses? And then is it the thing that we all kind of just sort of agreed on, like, well, Patrick Mahomes is now going to go down as the greatest of all time. It's just a matter of time. How many Super Bowls is he going to win going forward here?
Yeah.
You know, could get away from him. I got a little high pitch there about making my point, but I'm going to really, really get high about that. I mean, Josh Allen, and here comes Trevor Lawrence into the same conference, and Justin Herbert is in the same division, and I don't know. Like, good. I think what it adds up to is, good thing you got that ring, Patrick Mahomes, to get that monkey off your back now so that people aren't like, is Patrick Mahomes Dan Marino?
I saw Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs at 6-1 odds preseason, and that, you know, they're not going to be any lower than that. And I figure, well, that means to me, you bet them 6 years in a row, you're going to win one. I think even if it's not this year, I think he's got another one in him. But yeah, it's tough to get there for sure.
What if Deshaun Watson goes to the Broncos? Then it's like, well, I mean, what are the Chiefs a favorite? Justin Herbert and the Chargers, are they definitely like a long shot to get that division in 2021 with Patrick Mahomes? Of course not.
Let's talk about that game. I broke news yesterday that he's cleared. I don't know why we have to go through this formality. He's playing. Okay. I don't know. How do you break news, Charlotte? You're a journalist.
You tweet it. You tweet it.
Is that
it,
all
right?
You do? Breaking news. Patrick Mahomes is playing. No question about it. No question he's playing.
There you go.
If you don't think he's playing, or if you think he has a chance he's not playing, you need to go to the blue tent yourself, because he's getting in there. Chiefs are 3. The over-under is 53. Do we know what the concussion protocol is? Like, I was joking around and said maybe we should just check his tweets. Like, if they're complimentary, like they have been all along about other athletes, if that continues this week, I feel like he has a clear mind. If he all of a sudden talks about how there should be a recount in Pennsylvania, I'm like, oh boy, all right, maybe he's not ready or something like that. But what is the protocol? It's like an eye test, right? And is that at the end of the week?
No, I have no idea, Sal. I have no idea what the protocol is. I would imagine they, you know, ask you a bunch of questions about U.S. history, and which no one knows anyway.
Yeah,
and
right.
So that seems like a high bar.
Well, so they're very vague terms. They say he needs to maintain his baseline status, which was determined in the preseason. So are they asking them historical questions in the preseason? Like, I wonder how they get it. And then when the player reaches the next phase, they can begin light aerobic exercises. By the way, the real story is that he's taken big steps towards recovery. So, and then when he's met this efficiently, they will continue with cardiovascular workouts, start introducing strength training, and then they do this eye thing. I think they get in like what's kind of like a virtual reality thing, and they scan the eyes, and it's basically looking back and forth, and that's the final evaluation. I think that comes Friday, and then the doctor's findings determine if you can return to practice in the games. I don't know. It's fascinating because you look into it. It could be, I don't want to say it could be manipulated, but it's also not something that we're familiar with, right? Like if you asked anybody what the test is, they wouldn't know. I didn't know until I looked it up.
Well, it's funny you said taking steps. That to me is equally troubling. If you're Andy Reid, is how's he stepping? Because when we saw him go out of the game, he was limping pretty bad. And this season, more than the previous two for Mahomes, he was running with it. He was taking advantage of defenses turning their back on him, and he was making first downs by running with the ball.
Right.
And in fact, that first touchdown where he got the guy off his feet and ran it in there, that was on the option play kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you take that out of his repertoire. I like when people use different words, repertoire. Yeah. But anyway, if that's gone, that's a thing. But
I think they shoot that toe up good with whatever, right? I don't know.
I guess that's true. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah,
but also Dave, with that, like I argue with some people, like people really that is classic second guessing. Like, why is Mahomes running in the first place? Like, well, he's an effective rusher. Nobody had a problem when he went with the option right and was untouched for the 2-yard touchdown earlier in the game. But when he comes up, in a semi-dirty hit or whatever, it's like, oh, he's got a bad toe. Why is he running? Like, well, either he's one of these quarterbacks that has never touched, either he's Big Ben week 12, or he's Patrick Mahomes, right? So
it is crazy. I know, again, something we've been yapping about, but Brady doesn't move and Drew Brees doesn't move. Now they can make short yardage first downs, which is not a small thing because you mentioned Roethlisberger right. And he can't do that. But those guys that can at least pick up in, fourth and inches kind of situations. But it is weird that those guys don't move because it's such a factor for even Patrick Mahomes and obviously Josh Allen and otherwise. I think the thing with Mahomes, though, good, he's not concussed and he doesn't have a brain bruise, which is what a concussion is. I think they should call it brain bruises because I think people would resonate more. Concussion sounds like I don't know what.
Brain
like,
bruise, we jack up the importance of that and take down with the collapsed lung needs to be too, that's too harsh.
Yeah, that's right.
Or lacerated.
The difference is that a doctor can give you the latter and not the, and usually
that's
not
true.
The former.
You're right.
Exactly. I like, right. I always say, my go-to is when Jim McMahon once playing the Raiders got a lacerated spleen. That seems too far. That seems too much for our entertainment.
No, that can
for
be
someone
bad.
To lacerate an organ. But anyway, yeah. The thing is, I get the concussion. Oh, it's not a concussion. Good. But like, what the hell happened then? Like that was that.
I don't know.
That's more like five finger death punch. Like there's some voodoo at play. And that would trouble me. Like, wait, so if you hit him on the wrong part, what am I thinking of? What movie or bad
solar
guy
plexus
could, like,
or something
pinch
yeah,
you in a place and would just be like, whoa, you would just like, is that what happened to Mahomes? Cause I'd be worried if I were a Chiefs backer that might happen again.
I've said this and you look at that play. It doesn't seem like a regular concussion play. We've seen helmet to helmets. We've seen guys' heads bouncing off the turf. All right. Maybe Kansas City Arrowhead. It's a little colder than we imagine. Didn't look like that. Also didn't look like a choke out. Like Jay Glazer said, but there was something around the throat. I think he was woozy from a little like choke technique there, whether it's dirty or not. Boy, I'll tell you, these Browns fans really got all over me. I don't know what to say. They're like, you don't give the Browns credit. I was like, I had a lot of money on the Chiefs. What do you want me to say? I'm not responsible for 20 years of woes. I didn't hire Freddie Kitchens. I'm sorry. I'm not, I can't, you can take it out on me, but I had a lot of money on the Chiefs. I was praising them and not so much the Browns. So
they're
that's
just lashing out, Sal. They're
how
just
it
lashing
goes.
Out.
So he's there,
but they went now because they want the rest of the world to share their reality that they, that winning a playoff game is worthy of parades and songs for an entire offseason. Settle down. This is being a victim of low expectation. All right, great. You did nice. I'm happy for them. I'm happy for them. It's the demands, though. Like, why? Where's our respect? Like, all right, you did well, relatively speaking, relative to your last 50 years, but you kind of didn't do that much. I mean, settle down. We're not throwing you a parade.
You beat the Steelers. Come on.
Yeah, right.
I'm into it. I don't know. Right. I'm into it. I think the Browns have. This was the Browns Super Bowl, as close as they've gotten in so long. I'm gonna let them have it. I think.
I get it. I'm happy for them, but also.
I mean, it's also not a Super Bowl, so.
You're down 5 points to Chad Henne in the fourth quarter. Beat him. I don't know. How much praise do we have?
Look at the Ravens. Look at the Steelers. Yeah. Look at the Browns. The Steelers are. The sky is falling. I can assure you, on the banks of the Three Rivers, for a 12-4 team. The Ravens are asking, what do we do about Lamar Jackson going forward? Browns fans like, we did it!
Yeah, right. What do you want?
Same place. All got to the same place.
A couple other quarterbacks in the news here. Deshaun Watson, kind of threatening to sit. He's tweeting a lot of stuff. He's liking a lot of fun memes that put him on other teams. You talk about it. Denver. It seems like... the Jets and the Dolphins are the odds-on favorite. Actually, the Texans are the odds-on favorites to retain him. But then you have the Jets and the Dolphins because they have the assets to give, one way or another, the Texans a quarterback of the future, either in Tua or the Jets would be in their draft pick, would be either Lawrence or Fields, I think we'd have to imagine. But I think the Bears need to take a shot at Deshaun Watson if they can. Just send all those draft picks up until 2029, number ones, their way. You can't miss out on signing the Beatles twice, right?
Right.
Don't say, it's not a point of pride to, you missed out on them in the draft. You could really turn this franchise around. I don't know what you do. I know they're not going to want Trubisky, but at least make an offer. You got to make an offer.
Even if it didn't work out, like even if Deshaun ended up not being great in Chicago, which I think he would, it would feel like a turning point. It would feel like the Browns doing the right. I mean, whoa, see what I did there?
See? Yeah,
it would feel like the Bears doing the right thing in a way that it hasn't felt like the Bears have done in a while.
I would like him to end up a Bear. What about you? Rooting interests aside, you know, you don't want him in your division, obviously. Dave or Charlotte, where do you want him to end up?
The Patriots?
Rooting interest, I guess.
Okay, then the Bears. I think the Bears. I think that would be. I don't want him to end up with the Jets because I want him to have a chance to be great. So.
I wish they had a little more to offer. It's not going to happen. Yeah. Dave, what
who
are you
the think? Jets?
No, yeah. no, the Bears. I wish they had. Oh, a little more. I don't think they have. It's not in place. But
I know. I don't know why I'm being a curmudgeon about this particular subject and not indulging all the fanciful. Like, but what? Imagine him on that team. But yes. If you work backwards from who can actually acquire him and if there is a sweepstakes for Deshaun Watson, who has the most assets to offer, you already said it there. Do the Dolphins philosophically want to do the Cliff Kingsbury move? It would have been crazy that we would have even indulged this conversation had it not been for the Cardinals a couple of years ago. They take Josh Rosen 10th, and then they immediately turn their back on him and take Kyler Murray. But now that exists... the Dolphins really would be great. He wants to go to Miami. Mm-hmm. Brian Flores. I like that. I like that. And they have assets to give, and they include Tua. The thing that all the fan bases are out there doing right now is playing this game of like, what our team's got to make an offer there. Our team's got all these things. Like, yes, but the Texans, without Bill O'Brien at least, aren't just going to give him to you.
No,
like,
they're not.
Assuming they have competent. Personnel guys now and are going to ask for the best price. It's the Dolphins who can give them Tua plus all those some first round picks, at least two or three, or the Jets who can give them Sam Darnold at least. Because you got to be able to this thing about like, oh, this why aren't the Steelers offering him? They can give the 24th pick. They could give the next 5 years worth of first round picks because the Texans don't want 24th pick. They need to, if you give away Deshaun, you need to turn around and take Justin Fields or Zach Wilson or someone like
but
that
here,
to say to the fan base, see, we're still working at it.
It's all leverage, right? So the Texans have leverage until Deshaun Watson says, I'm not playing for you this year. And at that point, it's probably too late, right? It's like now it's late August.
Yeah, right.
You're not going to be able to pull a trigger on a trade in late August, but that is when Deshaun Watson will be most serious and most threatening in his stance to not play. On the other hand, I wonder if Tua was more attractive not playing at all this year. I wonder if the Dolphins, if he hadn't taken a snap, the Dolphins would have more leverage, as we say, trading Tua to this Texan squad. Anyway, that's going to be interesting. As Dave mentioned earlier, Phil Rivers can't even give Biden his day. He retires today. That's it. Back to the nine kids. I saw odds on FanDuel didn't have this, but I saw that Jacob Eason is the odds on favorite to take the first snap in the regular season game next year for the Colts. That ain't happening, right? Here's what would really shake things up. Andrew Luck comes back. Do it in classic WWE style, running down the ramp. Look who's back. You thought you were rid of me. AFC South in shambles right now as Andrew Luck steps in as quarterback.
You know what I love about how you guys think about sports is that I think the ultimate, if football turned into the WWE just a little bit more, it would make you really, really happy. And I like that.
I think so. Yes.
You know, like make people hate each other all the time and then bring the people back. You know, I think it's great.
More folding chairs and fake blood. Let's do it. Let's get Andrew Luck back in the mix.
I think we should do what everybody has wanted to see for 15 years. Some level of fans always like that debate of the 2004 class. Like I think let's just have them switch spots. Let's have Eli go to the Chargers and Roethlisberger to the Giants. Let's see how it all shakes out.
Ben to the Colts. Yeah.
Eason is uninspiring. But I also think that Ballard and Reich have earned the right to, with the fans of Indy, to say, like, trust us, this guy is going to be good. And we can win the Super Bowl with him. I don't think that that's probably the case. I think they have to go and get somebody because, again, that is a roster that's capable of winning out. They have a ton of loot too. They can really
they could get Trask in the draft. They could get Carson Wentz. Those are top three, top four guys.
Trask is. I'll just poo poo on a poor kid who hasn't even done anything. I don't think Trask is.
You're hating the Florida quarterbacks Tebow and Trask.
Do you watch Trask? He's not the guy. Kyle Trask is not going to be 3 years from now like, hey, you got to say he's one of the seven or eight best QBs in the league. He's not going to ever be that guy. So you really want to burn a first round pick on that guy?
I don't know.
No, I don't think so.
But Jameis, Dak. I mean, Deshaun Watson's not going there. The Texans aren't giving him to a team in the division. But the QB carousel is going to spin, perhaps as it's never spun before this offseason. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great. I mean, Rhea, what's your answer, Sal?
My answer is Luck. Andrew Luck. I just
would
love
be
Andrew
awesome
Luck.
If that happened.
But they could
not going to probably. But
yeah, they could end with Brissett. That I could see them starting the year like that or something.
Nah.
So then it's a Carson Wentz or or one of these draft guys. I think I don't
Mac
know.
Mac Jones maybe. People are gonna reach for that. I think Dak is an absolutely plausible solution there. I really do. I think that you could make a case to the Cowboys about like, come on.
I don't think I just all the cards are in place now for them re-signing him. And I don't know how I feel about it. Real quick though, Dave, speaking of solutions, we got a bunch of emails about your playoff system where you announced that there are too many playoff teams, but that each division winner should get a bye. How do you rectify this? People wrote in at theextrapointsgang@gmail.com and wanted to know how you did this. So go ahead. I want to give you a chance to defend your plan.
Listen, I know all the smarties out there. Listen, didn't I just say 20 minutes ago, I'm not a math guy. That's for Sal. Let him break out his calculus 2 charts and he can map it. I don't know what happens in calculus 2, but I assume it involves a calculator.
All right. So 4 buys, but we can't have 7 teams. That's too many.
No. Well, first of all, see, stinking thinking. Everybody thinks you can't change things. I'm going to first move. We're not going to have 4 divisions in a conference. We're only going to have 3. How about that?
See. So 3
that's first of all, head-to-head games within the division are satisfying. Rivalries are satisfying. Let's have more of them. Let's go back to how it used to be. We only need 3 divisions. You don't have to have 4 divisions.
All right, I want you to work this out, though. It
can't
just be speculation.
Three division champs.
Yes, 3
they all
division
get a
winners.
Bye.
Yes.
And then you keep seven teams and four wild cards. So then you would
not work. Nope, that's not working. You need to work on this.
I'm going to work on it, but at the finish line, everybody rest assured, we will have a meritocracy.
You can't do it. You can't have three buys. I'm just saying, from a math standpoint, you can't have three buys unless you have, they'd have to play five teams. So you'd have to have 10 wild card teams.
Just as a reminder, I know you know this, Sal, but Charlotte, funny. I wonder if you are aware, the least satisfying, weird, anticlimactic, like, oh, how are we going to devote this weekend? Oh, it's wild card weekend. It used to be these two kind of good teams that never would go to the Super Bowl would play each other in the two conferences. And it was really weird. It was like the first weekend in January. It was like, the Dolphins and Jets are playing a wild card game, and this counts as playoffs, and I'm supposed to be excited because whoever wins this one's going to get eliminated next week by the actual good team that they have to go.
Didn't they go to the Super Bowl, the Dolphins, that year? No, that was
that
year?
Well, the Raiders did it in 80 is what I think the first time that that anybody did that. Right. But all right, I'll work on it. I accept your challenge.
You got a lot of that. Three buys is a tough
thing. I can't wait to see how you bend math to make this work.
Charlotte, what do you got going on at the Wilder Things?
At the Wilder Things, we'll have a new People Sports podcast out tomorrow. And check out, there's an Eli Manning commercial that I tweeted out.
It's very funny.
He goes fishing with hot sauce. And I just think that if people haven't seen it, I don't know why it's not running on every playoff game, but I just want to put that out there.
I hate that he's funny. I told you guys I don't like it. It bothers me. It bothers me that it really is genuinely funny. And then just came on Twitter like last year, right? And he doesn't lose.
He's out there skiing with his family. It's really impressive.
He really is. Dave, you're not going to be skiing with the family anytime soon, but people can find you on at Damashek, right?
That's correct. And do yourself a favor and help out our pal Sal there. Well, not help him out. It's not a charity. But get his brand new book.
Thank you for tweeting that. Yes. You can't lose them all on Amazon.
Plus hour 26 right now.
I don't know. It's weird because people are getting digital copies, but the hard copy doesn't come out until Tuesday. But the pre-orders are also trickling in. I don't know how.
I'll pre-order it digitally too, so I have it, and then have the
I'll pay you guys back. I will. Anyway,
and also PayPal us.
Yeah, and also -3 subscribe, download all that stuff. We have TJ Lang, Aaron Rodgers' good pal.
Oh, nice.
From the Packers coming up this week. He's a funny guy, so we'll have a good conversation to get you right for title game weekend.
Yes, and if you owe Dave money, hit him up at Damashek on Twitter. I think that's how you can get paid, right?
So that's so obnoxious the way you spin. I was like, I'm Dave Damashek.
I'm
Dave Damashek in quotes, and then I realized how that reads. So then I was like, as I am in life.
Well, it was wrong anyway, but it ended up being wrong. It wasn't even right. Eddie Spaghetti and Michael Meatballs might be doing hockey stuff with you guys, right? We can get that going. That'll be fun. We got the thumbs up from Spaghetti. Very excited about hockey. Yes, you can't lose them all on Hit It Up on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. That's my book. I'm at The Cousin Sal, and I want to remind everyone, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all our favorites. See you Friday.